Chapter 25. Malpractice Fully Fathomed. The author's own observations of the workings of animal magnetism convince her that it is not a remedial agent, and that its effects upon those who practice it and upon their subjects who do not resist it lead to moral and to physical death. Mary Baker Eddy, 1880. Joseph Morton left Arends to study with Mrs. Eddy. He told of Arends' antagonism to Christian Science, his discrediting of Mrs. Eddy, and his plans for plagiarizing her writings. At a meeting of the Christian Scientist Association on the 2nd of June, he convinced the membership that Arends should be expelled, although Mrs. Eddy took no part in the expulsion. Before her departure from Boston at the end of June, she had taken a new step. On the 26th of June, she had given official notice through her student, James Howard, of a meeting to form a corporation to be called the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. The Eddies spent the months of July and August in Concord, New Hampshire, near the scenes of Mary's childhood. She could not totally abandon her flock, and kept in touch through her one trusted student, James Howard. He was the only one who knew their whereabouts. The summer of 1880 was truly another wilderness experience for the woman of the apocalypse. Of the demonology she was encountering, she wrote, "Because this error was so remote from the borderlands of metaphysical science, we never fully fathomed its working until the summer of 1880, and to our Father we owe it that we have found the facts of immortal mind more than equal to meet the fables of mortal mind." Finding the way to meet these fables was no easy task. On the 23rd of July, she wrote to James Howard, quote, "I have passed into and out of hell since I saw you last," end quote. For the first time, Mrs. Eddy saw clearly that Richard Kennedy was the one perpetrator back of all the wickedness that had been heaped upon her and her students. She almost lost hope for his reform, but she did not stop working to that end. She did gain hope for the reform of those who she now understood had been perverted by Richard's malicious mental manipulation. In her demonology chapter, she wrote, "We have not exposed one half the wickedness that has been committed unseen, and the purposes achieved by it, and the falsehood uttered of us in order to accomplish those purposes. We wait before doing this, with the hope that the perpetrators thereof will repent and forsake their sins forever. Some of the individuals before referred to offer indications of this reform and favor the hope that God is wresting them from the iron control of the hopeless sinner who has instigated and carried out this program of crimes so far as it has succeeded. May heaven aid those whom he has lured from positions of usefulness and rectitude of conduct into the gloom of his own night of sin." As the discoverer uncovered the hidden way of malice, she recorded this knowledge that others might benefit from her experience. This, of course, was further exposure of Kennedy's means and methods. by reversing the arguments of truth. He attempts to make sickness through a silent mental process, even as the metaphysician restores health by the opposite mental process. In his mental argument to frighten an individual and build up a belief of disease, he includes another one, namely, to make that individual believe that someone else is doing this, and he cannot be healed unless he is treated for the effects that individual is supposed to be producing on him. This last infirmity of sin is possible only to mesmerism. Mesmerism can make mortals believe a lie, but metaphysics cannot. It can only make them unbelieve it. Sensuality, envy, malice, hatred, and revenge must cooperate in the individual mind that can carry out demonology as aforesaid. By August, Mrs. Eddy was gaining the mastery over the evil she had uncovered. She wrote to Clara Choate on the 5th of the month, "I now have mastered one part of this earth problem. In all the different malpractices, I now see first the individual that comes to me, or my husband, before they go further. So one step follows another of light in this glorious path, if we walk in the light." She wrote again to James Howard. That young man had a wife and family to support, and had not yet entered upon the full-time practice of Christian Science. In an effort to help him, to cast his net on the right side, the teacher wrote offering 5 of the rooms in their house in Lynn, rent-free, when their summer tenants vacated. She was looking forward to the fall, even though her work made every day a busy one. Anyone who has had a vision knows that he cannot be mistaken as to the meaning. The import of the message is vividly clear at the moment. Mrs. Eddy's vision early in August doubtless meant far more to her than we will ever know. Gilbert Eddy recorded simply, quote, "A vision of passing over the wave without sinking into a particle," end quote. Most probably, she was meeting or had met the attacks of the enemy, understood his wickedness, and was overcoming it. In the forthcoming revision of Science and Health, she stated, "A silent mental process of impregnating into the mind and thence into the body, suffering, disease, fear, hatred, sensuality, etc., is Satan let loose, the sin that standeth in holy places, more subtle than all other beasts of the field, a crime at which everyone should shudder, either to become the victim or the perpetrator. We hope the years that we have labored to help the human race through the curative agent of mind have also furnished the means to stop this trespass on mental healing. Having traversed faithfully the realm of metaphysics and found in this field of inquiry the mental cause and its physical effect, we ought to understand and do what we are saying. You would not deny the mathematician the right to say what has wrought an example incorrectly, or deny the musician who gives the true tone the ability to detect the discord. Even as Judas Iscariot was the one disciple who betrayed the master, Richard Kennedy was the one individual who reversed the teachings of the Revelator to this age. But he was the tool of sin, and not the sin itself. He fulfilled the position Jesus described when he said, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." A decade or more later, Mrs. Eddy wrote that, quote, "sin created the sinner," end quote. The impersonalization that was to come in her work and her writings was suggested in this passage on the penultimate page of Demonology. The reestablishment of the Christian era, or the medieval period of metaphysics, will be one of moderation and peace, but the re-inauguration of this period will be met with demonology, or the unlicensed cruelty of mortal mind, that will compel mankind to learn metaphysics for a refuge and defense.